everybody's already taken their seats, so I want you to go ahead and turn to Romans 1. We may get there here in a little bit, but we'll see what happens. As you've seen, things are not running as usual at this point. And I'm going to talk just a little bit about that in just a minute, but I really do want to begin our time with a time of prayer. I'm going to do that a little bit differently, too. You can pray underneath your breath for the Lord to speak to you, but I want to just go ahead and pray for us right now. So would you pray with me, please? Father, we just thank you for this time, and we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you for your grace, and Lord, for the way that you get our attention. And I just pray that you would be pleased to speak to hearts this morning. Lord, speak to my heart. Speak to each of our hearts as we look to you. And we want to commit this service to you for your honor and for your glory. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I do have notes in there. I'm just going to start with the first part of the notes in your bulletin. The current world concern. You know, this coronavirus that's going around. Some of you obviously received the email that we sent out. You know, we're living in very interesting times right now. Whether it's the roller coaster of the stock market. I've been to a lot of theme parks. I've ridden a lot of roller coasters. I've never caught one that just kind of had the kind of downward dip on it that we've had with the markets the last few weeks. And I'm hoping there's going to be a turn here at some point. But that doesn't even begin to compare with the things that are happening in the rest of our culture. You know, sporting events, entire seasons basically being canceled. To cancel March Madness, the Boston Marathon, various things of that nature. You know, cruise lines are canceling their services. Daniel's still in New York City, and they notified him that basically he's flying out on Tuesday, but he's flying back home on Tuesday instead of going to California. He's going to be here for initially 30 days, and at that point, they'll kind of make a decision on what happens next with that, as Holland America, as well as many other cruise lines, have suspended services, and partly because ports are closed down. I mean, Canada sent out and said they won't let ships dock till July the 1st. They're not taking like a short step. They're just kind of shutting off their season for now. And so you're seeing a lot of different things going on around the world. Schools are canceling for weeks at a time or until further notice, as we know here. We had a friend call us yesterday, a close friend from Massachusetts, and obviously their church is meeting via the internet because they've asked churches not to meet down there as different things are gathering. Their state's declared a state of emergency there. Biggest concern, obviously, is the illnesses to people. And for those who have lost loved ones at this time, and that's still happening all over the world. While China seems to have the virus somewhat stabilized and under control, Europe has become the epicenter of what seems to be happening with the coronavirus right now. Particularly if you check Italy out and some of the other countries there where it's just really progressively has grown. When I first started personally following the coronavirus online through a site that I go to, which is about a month ago. It was in about 75 countries. And, you know, probably 15, 20 of those countries just had one case, but it was included. And there was a total of about 64,000 cases. As of yesterday, I did not get to check it this morning. It was in 151 countries with about 160,000 confirmed cases and close to 6,000 deaths. Probably a little over 5,000 of those deaths are in three countries, in China, in Italy, and in Iran. That's the majority, but there's other places where it seems to be growing. It's heartbreaking to see in many of those areas. But the coronavirus is not our biggest concern, and it certainly shouldn't be our biggest fear. Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him, that is God, who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." Basically saying people will give an account to God. And so we should have a holy reverence before our God. Above all else, So as Christians, our biggest concern, I believe at this time, needs to be with people's sin and people's salvation. And when I say people, especially as I deal with sin, I'm usually looking at the people that I see in the mirror. I'm talking about this people right here. God has a work he wants to do in my life during this time. God has a work he wants to do in your life and through your life at this time. God, I often say, hasn't left us here on earth simply to make a living. He's left us here to make a difference. God wants us to make a difference in the lives of people. We do that by being concerned about sin in our own lives and in the world all around us. And by seeking to live out and to share the message of the gospel with a lost and dying world. You know, the reality is that was the passion of the Apostle Paul in his time, and it should be ours in our time. Paul was seeking to walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus, who had that same passion. That's why Jesus came, to deal with the issue of sin and people's salvation. That's what drove him, and it's what should drive us. Jesus was committed to that because of the confidence that he had as the God-man. That confidence was in the plan of God. God's ability to reach the lost with the message of the gospel. Jesus always did the things that were pleasing to his Father. All the way, no matter where it took, he kept trusting God and he kept trusting God's plan, even as the God-man. See, it's so easy for us at times to grasp that Jesus was God. And I can understand that, to be real honest with you, a lot easier than I can understand that Jesus was totally man, that he was just like me, except without sin. So in his humanity, he had to trust the plan of God the Father the way that we have to trust the plan of God as he's revealed it to us in his word. That's the confidence that he had, and it's the confidence we should have. And so our confidence and our trust needs to be in our God who is sovereign over all. You know, the coronavirus did not take God by surprise. I just want to make sure that you have come to grips with that simple statement. God is not up in heaven wringing his hands going, I just really wasn't expecting that to happen down there. Does anybody here have a plan for what to do? Because that just kind of caught me by surprise. God isn't up there doing that. God is sovereign. He is in complete control. And because of that, we can be confident. We can step out in faith. We can do what he has called us to do. God has given each of us a mind, and he wants us to use it. God has given each of us who know him, his spirit, to live within us, to guide us. God has given the world his word that we can turn to and rely upon in times like these. He wants us to utilize all that he has entrusted to us as we follow him. You know, I have tried to continue to follow the leading of God in my own personal life. I still have meetings with people. I still go out and do the things that God's called me to do. I'm being very cautious. I'm being careful. But I'm not living in fear. I mean, one of the things that allowed Christianity to impact the Roman world was everybody was running away from diseased people. The Christians were running toward them to serve. Now, once again, we don't do that blindly. Many of you will remember, it was about 5-6 years ago now, when Ebola was the big thing we talked about. Now, it wasn't a big deal here, but it was a big concern because People were dying in Africa. In a matter of 2 years, I think they had close to, if I remember the number, 11,310 people die in three countries. Had another 15 people die in three other countries, one of which was the U.S. because of people who went there to serve. And a few years ago, we watched a movie called Facing Darkness here that the Samaritan's Purse did about their doctors who went there, their medical personnel who were serving in West Africa. And they followed a couple of people who got infected. And nobody had survived at this point. You get infected, you died. And the tough thing was, when people died, relatives would come to them, and that disease was passed on through the death of people. And so trying to keep people away from dying people and dead people was hard. And people were wearing hazmat suits. They were going in. They were being washed as they came out. They, you know, covering every area. And then two of them, they discovered it caught the disease. And they did something. They thought, we'll try this, and it ended up working. As they were flying them here to the U.S., they ended up recovering in the process of being flown here. And that basically gave them something to utilize there. The reason I share that story is that they took risks. But they didn't go in there blindly, God's going to protect me. They're wearing the hazmat suits. They're doing everything they're supposed to do. And so, we don't panic. But we do exercise wisdom. I hope we know the difference between both. If you respond to a situation and try to address it, it doesn't mean you're going into panic mode, though some people have, as you heard about, you know, Mark sharing just a little bit about people hoarding and buying all kinds of stuff. You know, my uncle sent me a video of somebody opening up a safe deposit box. Some of y'all probably seen it. And inside of it is just one roll of toilet paper. You know, you take it out, take one sheet off, put the thing back in there, close it up, make sure nobody messes around with their stuff. I mean, it's all of a sudden, it's what do you value in those scenarios? Now, this is where we're going to, like everything that's going on all around us, this is where we're going to allow God's Spirit to continue to work and to lead us. On Friday of this week, President Trump declared today as a day of prayer for our country and the world in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. He stated the following: "It is my great honor to declare Sunday, March 15th, as a national day of prayer. We're a country that, throughout our history, has looked to God for protection and strength in times like these. No matter where you may be, I encourage you to turn towards prayer in an act of faith. Together, we will easily prevail." Now, I want y'all to know, you have notes in your bulletin. I have a PowerPoint that's done. I've got my notes. I've got a sermon prepared. Okay? But what we're going to do right now is we're going to go into a time of prayer. I have a microphone. I'm going to take it. I'm going to set it right down here in front. And I'm going to ask you, if you're tall, to bend down to it. If you're short, get on your tiptoes. That way, everybody don't have to touch. Everybody like, I don't want to touch the microphone. You know, I don't want us to freak out, okay? But the reason I want to do this is because I want us to pray to our Almighty God as God has laid things on your heart. I can ask you to stand up where you are and pray, but there's some people who aren't going to hear you. And I want us to be able to pray together. This prayer time could last 5-10 minutes. It could take the entire balance of the service. I'm prepared for either one of those options. I just want us to start off by going before God. And if people feel like, I just need to voice this before God, we're going to agree with you as you voice various things before God. You know, in my mind, I keep thinking, going, Lord, Would it be possible that today, as people throughout our country and maybe throughout the world are devoting time to prayer, you'll be pleased to use that to intervene in ways that we have not seen? Now, it may not slow down the numbers. It may. But hopefully it will turn our hearts toward God, not just for this time, but for the balance of time. So our service is going to begin with a time of prayer to Almighty God. This portion of the service, we've had a big part of it already going as we've worshiped God through music. I believe God is able to do great things. We pray for nations because I believe God can impact the world from Jaffrey, New Hampshire. We lift this up because I believe God can impact the world through Jaffrey, New Hampshire, through the people that live in this area that attend this body and other bodies like it. So I'm just going to set this down. I am going to open up this time of prayer, and I will ask you if you sense that God's laying something on your heart or just feel like, hey, I just like to pray. So I'm going to put this right here. There's a little handle here. Hopefully this will catch most everybody. Let's see. There we go. I'm going to move away from it. I'm just going to use my mic to start off the prayer time. And we'll just devote our time to pray here initially. So let's pray. Lord, as we take this time to come before you in prayer, there's a number of verses that I had written down from your word that would cause us to reflect and to think. Lord, you tell us in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to let our requests be made known to God. And Lord, your peace would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, that peace which surpasses all comprehension. Lord, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. And Lord, he concludes that psalm with, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Since I'm afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Lord, you are our help. You are our deliverer. You are Almighty God. Lord, we turn to you as a nation, not simply because our president called a national day of prayer. I'm grateful that he did that. I pray that there are churches all over our country that are praying, devoting times to prayer today like we are. But Lord, we turn to you because we have nowhere else to go. You have the words of eternal life. You have the strength to nourish us. You have the strength to empower us. Lord, you have the strength to see us through life no matter what life may bring our way. Lord, we pray that you would stop this coronavirus from spreading. I pray that the measures that are being taken in many places to cancel things, Lord, would allow that time period for those who are infected to have it go through. Lord, we realize based on what we see and what we read that this virus attacks people's respiratory system. And so, Lord, for those who are elderly, for those who have a hard time from a health perspective, this is a much, much more difficult disease. Lord, as we see in Italy, where so many more people are dying than in other places, Lord, primarily because of the age of their population. And so, Lord, we ask you to intervene. That, Lord, above all else, not necessarily that you would spare people from death. All of us are going to die someday. But, Father, that you would draw people to yourself in the midst of this. Lord, that people would turn to Almighty God. That those of us living in a world where we think because of technology and time that we're in control of everything, that, Father, we would realize that we do not control things. But there is a God in heaven who controls all things. Lord, Nebuchadnezzar was struck until he remembered that there's a God in heaven and that he was not the sovereign, but the God in heaven was. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our midst. I pray that you would be pleased, Father, to protect people. I pray, Father, that you would be pleased to help families, that we as parents would have an opportunity to use this as grandparents to be able to teach our children about trust, about living in a time of crisis. Lord, I realize for those of us living in advanced countries like ours, we see so much. We see the difference of how things have changed because of this coronavirus. Lord, for those living in refugee camps, for those living in very poor countries, Lord, where it's basically 50 cents to a dollar per day at best for them to live on. Lord, for them, this is life as usual. Nothing really has changed. For us, we see the change. God, do a work. Do a work in our body this morning as we allow you to minister to us through one another as we come before you in prayer. And Lord, I initiate this prayer time, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus.
And Lord, I just remember back to 9/11 and how you humbled us and how the country came together once again, Lord. God bless America, flags flying in the back of pickup trucks and bumper stickers everywhere. And Lord, is this another way that you're trying to get our attention? Lord, we were once a country that honored, glorified, and revered you, and we've turned so far from that, Lord. So as we humble ourselves and pray, Lord, we ask that you heal our land, Lord. Heal our land that would be a land that would return to honoring and glorifying you, that would not put babies in the trash can, Lord. Lord, we have fallen so far as a country and as a world, Lord, and we humbly ask in Jesus' name that you forgive us and you continue just to use us, Lord, for your glory and honor, so that people will see Christ in us, turn from their wicked ways, and be saved in Jesus' name.
Yeah, God, thank you for this time of intercession that we can just come here before you and just pray for nations and pray for this virus and pray for just everything that needs to be lifted up today. I just pray for peace over this whole country and the whole world where the virus is pretty much everywhere. And yeah, just I pray for peace because there's a lot of fear that is rampant in people's hearts and in people's minds as they are just kind of being shut in and just kind of trapped. So I pray that while people have more time at home and while they maybe have more fear in their hearts, God, that they would turn to you in this time of fear and maybe dust off their old Bible and start reading about you and the peace that you bring. So yeah, thank you for your peace, God, and I just pray for that over this nation.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquity, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and with mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Father God, I ask that as we come before you in prayer, Lord, that as we see what's going on around us, help us, God, to see that through the lens of our salvation, our redemption in who you are. Help us to remember the things, God, that you have sacrificed for us, God, the blessings that you have given to us and that you give to us new by your mercies every morning. Help us to view our culture and the lost and the dying through your eyes and your eyes only. Give us a spirit of power, not of fear. God, help us to live as wise, set apart, chosen, and free and redeemed children of God. May others see your glory through us. Lord, help us to be looking for how we can best pray, for how we can best live during these times. God, we pray for healing, but more than that, God, we pray that your glory be seen.
Lord, your word in John 10 says that the thief comes not except to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. In 14 it says that I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, so even I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep which I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Lord, I pray that you would give us the reminder to listen to your voice, to be sheep that hear your voice and discern it, Lord, that no name, no concept, no thought is greater than the name of Jesus. No panic, no government intervention, no state of emergency is anything beyond what the name of Jesus is. So, Father, help us to be mindful of that and to seek and hear your voice, which you've given us in your word, Lord. Amen.
Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Lord, a short time ago, nobody had ever even heard of coronavirus. Now the whole world is rocked by it. Lord, I pray that this humbling time will turn a lot of eyes to you, Lord, in your light. In the darkness of this world that's all around us, Lord, this is an opportunity for your light to shine into the eyes of the darkness, Lord, and I pray that this will be very effective in doing that. Like they said in 9-1-1, how we were all Americans for a while and we were all united and all together, Lord. I pray that this coronavirus will unite us in you and bring new people to you and people that have never considered you and your sovereignty and the fact that you are in control and not Donald Trump or Bernie or the Republicans or the Democrats, Lord, but only you. And by humbling us, many of us will be turned to you, Lord.
Father, I keep thinking of the verse in Lamentations 3 that says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. Help us to be faithful to you, Lord. And as we are, I pray that those who don't know you will see that hope in us and ask, what is that hope within you, Lord? And we will have that opportunity to share in this time of turmoil, Lord, that great love that does not consume us, Lord God. So we just give you thanks that we can walk in that truth. Help us to be prepared as we spend time in your word and in prayer, Lord, to be able to answer those who ask. In Jesus' name.
Father, we look to you. We trust that you're working through this. We trust that your purposes are sovereign. We don't understand. We don't always know why the suffering has to happen for us to turn to you. But I think of the song that we sung this morning about giving us undivided hearts. And Lord, I am come before you confessing that my heart has been divided, and when my heart is divided, I go to fear. And when we aren't getting what we want, or we don't have what we expect, fear takes over, and our hearts do become divided, and we don't look to you anymore. And so, Lord, I ask your forgiveness, and I pray that your people, Lord, would, as the theme sort of has come about this morning, that your people would look to you and seek forgiveness for having divided hearts, and that we would be an example to this nation and the world that you want us to come together in unity, that when your people are walking together, you're pleased, Lord, by our unity, and that this country could use unity, and that as we come together, Lord, that you might bring revival, that you would bring revival to our country and bring undivided spirits to the people of this nation and to the world, Lord. We all need unity. And I just ask that you would cleanse us from our impurities and our idols that divide us, and take our focus off of you and what you're trying to accomplish. And Father, that you'd put new spirits in us, and that you'd take our areas of our hearts where they're stony, and that you'd give us hearts of flesh, Lord, and that we would cling to you and your word, and that we would walk in your ways, Lord. And Father, that we would be people after your own heart. And that as we do, Father, that you would turn our church around, turn our nation around, turn this world toward you. In Jesus' name.
Dear Father in heaven, I come to you this morning thanking you for your faithfulness to me. I've lived a long life, Lord. 93 years is a long time. And I can honestly say, Father, that in all that time, I've never known you to fail me. You haven't always answered my prayers the way I wanted you to. Sometimes you said no or wait, but we thank you, Father, that, I'm sorry, I've proven how old I am. I just thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. We pray, Father, you'll forgive us for any panicking we might have done or lack of trust and help us to just fix our eyes on you for your peace and quietness in our hearts at this time, Lord. I thank you for the peace that you've given me because of the fact that you've never failed me. And Lord, we just pray for that peace for each person that's here today and for each Christian around the world, Father, that they'll not forget that you are Almighty God, that you never fail. And we just pray that you will stop this virus as quick as possible because people are panicking and their whole lives are changing. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not so good. So we just pray, Father, that our hearts and our thoughts may be turned to you. And may we just focus them on you and not on the coronavirus, Father. Help us not to forget that you are in charge and that you will do what is the very best for each and every one of us. We give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And I thank you for Chad. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord God Jesus, that we can come to you in prayer and that you answer our prayers. And we just ask that you hear our prayers and just give us the strength and take our fears and make us bold. And just to show the youth and just to show ourselves that we trust in your loving kindness. And you've always been there for us and you always will be. And we love you.
Father, I don't know that I have a lot more to add to what's already been prayed, but I'd like to pray myself some of the same things that have already been mentioned. Lord, in Colossians 3, verse 4, your verse there starts out in a very unique way. It says, when Christ, who is our life, and that phrase alone is a message in of itself. As much as I love my family, they are not my life. As much as I am thankful for the home we have, it's not my life. As much as I enjoy and happy to work where I work, it too is not my life. The NBA is not my life. The NFL, all those other abbreviations are not my life. As much as I love my church and my church family here, and they share in the life I have with you, they too are not my life. Lord, let this prayer start with me, that I boldly, intentionally, with great passion, seek to make you and you alone my life. Father, I pray you'd raise up your church, not just for this one time, there will be others, but I pray you develop in your body, your family, a pattern of behavior of service, of humility, graciousness, quick to confess sins, eager to keep short accounts, and having a great desire to serve others and sharing the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is a life worth having. It's a life worth living, and there's no other place I'd rather be. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we pray for the people that are in the nursing homes and the assisted livings and for their families as they're not going to be able to visit them soon. Just pray for the peace for them and peace for the people that are taking care of them, and that they know that they are there to show your love and your light to them in everything.
Sitting and listening to everybody, I got Jeremiah chapter 33, so I'm just going to move forward with it. Starting in verse 2. Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who informed it to establish it. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great mighty things which you do not know. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the house of this city and the houses of the kings of Judah, which have been pulled down to fortify against the siege of mounds and the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but only to fill their places with dead bodies of men, who I will slay in my anger and fury, all for whose wickedness I have hidden from my face in this city. Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return, and will rebuild those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me. I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it.
Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity for us to pray openly in these four walls. May we take it within our hearts to also pray for those that don't have that ability out there. May we pray for loved ones who are throughout the world, and those that who aren't loved ones that we don't know, so that we can just come together, follow your pathway, and accordance with your wisdom.
Lord, I come before you now on behalf of all the universities and colleges across our nation, Lord, So many of them have made calls to stretch out spring break, to move classes online for a short period of time. And some of you have made the decision to just stop the semester in here and put classes online for the rest of the semester. I pray you continue to give wisdom and discernment to all these professors and the faculty and the presidents of these schools as they're trying to discern what continued steps to make if they needed to be made. And Lord, I confess I am nervous as I'm seeing so many of these universities close around me. I'm graduating this May, and I would really, really like to be back at school to be with my professors and my mentors that have poured into me for 4 years, with all of my friends who live across the world to be able to celebrate together. But as I say that, I also recognize it is a privilege for me to have that education, to be able to have all those loved ones in my life, Lord, and I thank you for that. But I pray that not my will be done, but yours. And in this time of waiting, may it be a time of not passive waiting for you to do something, though, Lord, you could definitely stop the virus right now, and I believe that you can if that is your choice. But also in this time of waiting, may the world see that we are your children, and may our actions show who we are and point to who you are. And may this time just be for our nation, redirecting our hearts to you. And I pray for college students who are traveling or even returning from spring break, or international students who are now trapped either at colleges and aren't able to go home, or have either come back to the States but have found that they're not allowed to be allowed back on campus and they have no place to go. I pray that you will provide for them, provide for their needs. May they find people who are willing to open their homes to them, or even if that's finances for being able to find a place to stay, and just money and all of that, Lord, you will provide, and whatever that looks like, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for the fact that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things like we, and yet without sin. Thank you, Father, that there is an open door to your throne of grace, that we can come before you. That, Lord, that we have the ear of the King of Heaven bent toward us. And Lord, we pray that you would be pleased to do a work in us. Lord, I'm reminded of that statement where someone said that prayer changes nothing. God changes things. But prayer does change something. It changes me, the one praying. And so Lord, help me to be a change agent as I am being changed. Lord, as others have prayed, I pray that you would help us to search our hearts. Lord, that if there be any wicked way in us, that you would forgive us, that you would help us to repent, and that you would help us to live out your truth. Lord, beginning in our homes, in our churches, in our communities, and around this world. Lord, we are a blessed people because the Lord is our God. Lord, as the psalmist said, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. And so, Father, we glorify you and we lift you up. Father, I can't speak on behalf of others, but I can speak for me. Thank you for ministering to me through those who prayed. Thank you for thoughts that came that I hadn't thought about, for things shared that I needed to hear. Thank you, Father, for the way that you are pleased to use your body to to accomplish your work. Would you empower us to be great representatives of Jesus Christ in this world? You have called us to be your ambassadors. Help us to be ambassadors who bring all attention to Jesus. And we bless you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. We have just a few minutes. I would love, Mark, if you guys are prepared, I'd love for y'all to dismiss us with a song.